1490 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Rena Roy. The U.S. says it expects more Americans in the coming days to leave South Gaza. The Rafah crossing opened for the first time today since the start of the Israel-Hamas war. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby said a handful of American aid workers were allowed to leave.
The situation remains very fluid, but this is a significant breakthrough.
The State Department says it has told some 400 Americans who want to leave Gaza to remain near the Rafah crossing. In Syracuse, New York, a Cornell University student made an initial appearance today in federal court. The junior is charged with making death threats against Jewish students at Cornell. The FBI says it's just one example of the increase in anti-Semitic threats and hate crimes in the U.S. President Biden is in Minnesota touring a farm. It's part of his administration's efforts to invest in rural America. In New York City, Donald Trump Jr. testifying in the civil fraud trial involving former President Trump's family business. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. University of Wisconsin officials say they want elected leaders to stop politicizing diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. University system leadership says DEI programming promotes more inclusive communities for all kinds of students. Governor Evers is suing Republican lawmakers after they stalled scheduled pay raises for state university workers. UW system president Jay Rothman says it's time to stop the rancor. Yesterday's snowfall set records in much of Wisconsin. A band of snow made its way from west to east across the state. Appleton saw 4.5 inches of snow. That breaks the old record of 2.7 inches in 2019. Milwaukee suburbs like West Alice report about 4 inches of snow. Wausau and Eau Claire also set snowfall records yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Two dogs are dead after a Manitowoc house fire. The Manitowoc Fire Department responded to a call a little after 1 p.m. Tuesday afternoon to South 17th Street. All the people inside the house managed to get out. Two were taken to the hospital for treatment. Firefighters went into the house to look for the dogs and found they had died from smoke inhalation. Fire officials say the fire started in the kitchen, but there is more to investigate. They are reminding people to make sure they have working smoke detectors. Oshkosh police want your help as they look for suspects who started a garage fire. The fire was started early Sunday morning in the 700 block of Mount Vernon Street. Authorities are asking people in the area with security cameras to check between the hours of 1 and 3 a.m. on October 29th for any suspicious individuals. Authorities say no one was hurt in the fire. Anyone with helpful information is being asked to contact the Oshkosh Police Department. For WGBW 97.9, the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Game 5 of the World Series tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Texas Rangers hold a 3-1 record in the World Series after beating the Diamondbacks in Arizona last night by a score of 11-6. The first pitch tonight in Phoenix is 7:03. NBA, the Bucks are in Toronto to take on the Toronto Raptors tonight at 6 p.m. NFL, so why did the Packers trade one of their best defensive players, defensive back Rasul Douglas, to the Buffalo Bills last night? I asked Packers GM Brian Gutekunst.
Lane, the value you see in that third-round pick now with your current situation.
Yeah, I'm going to be a pretty good class coming up, but it's more about that's a four-year contract, four-year rookie contract. It also, you know, it also frees up a significant amount of resources from the cap. I think it's everything that's involved in that. And then just kind of looking at our team right now and some of the young guys that need to play and making sure we know what we know there as well.
That's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 27. winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 43. Lows around 33. Tomorrow night, overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 39.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, you've taken off your flannel, but I'm still declaring it a Lumberjack Wednesday edition.
Hey, Crudy. Happy November 1st, man. It's hard to believe we are in November already. Nate, good to see you working aboard. Thank you for your work today. Our fair audience, happy, happy hump day. Is today hump day? It is hump day, right?
It is hump day.
All right, good, good.
Happy and I am sporting the only flannel in my collection, a new flannel. My wife said,
looking good, man.
Full Lumberjack today.
It's cold.
I should have worn a beanie. I'm wearing like a gray and white badger hat, but should have worn a beanie.
It matches the flannel, though, man.
Oh, yeah, you know, I know. I was trying.
A little stylish, man. You know, you give up the warmth for some, you know, good style.
Dominic, here's where I want to start. Not about your taste in flannels. I would like to start with a little Walker bashing. It's been a while.
It seems like it's been a while.
Here is the topic of the Walker bashing. He has drawn the ire of the folks at PolitiFact Wisconsin. And we know this guy has been PolitiFacted many, many times with many, many pants on fires, faults, lying through his teeth. I mean, if they had another rung of depravity and just never telling the truth, Scott Walker should win that award. But I think pants on fire. That's about as bad as they get.
5% of Walker's scoreboard from PolitiFact have been pants on fire, Michael.
I've been PolitiFacted, Dom. Nothing but mostly true. Like 67%. I've moved up.
Right. 67% of the time. You're right every time.
Here is why I bring it to your attention. And as a rarity, I want to get the audience involved right now. You. I ask you, do you agree or disagree with this statement by Scott Walker? And we'll get there in just a minute. Scott Walker, according to PolitiFact, mostly misses the mark by calling Wisconsin a blue state. Scott Walker claims we are a blue state. Now, before I get to the PolitiFacting, Dom, I want to get to the source article. And the source article is a political article that was written back at the end of May 2023. And I think we've touched on this article prior, Dom. I'll tell you why in just a minute. But here's what the wanker said. This article reported by, let me make sure I get the reporter right. I'd hate not to. Was the reporter? It was David Siders. My bad. I met the guy. I should know. Went to dinner with him, had cocktails.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
I just didn't want to mispronounce, because you know how I butcher a name occasionally, Dom. But
really?
Occasionally. It's a rarity, but I've done it. You probably forget, because you and your shirts are memoryless.
I forget everything.
Dominic, here is what the Wankinator is quoted as saying by Politico. When I asked Walker, David Siders, the author writing, the former gubernator, about the party's prospects, that's the Republican Party's prospects in Wisconsin, he wasn't downtrodden given the explosion of the vote in left-leaning Madison and shrinking margins for Republicans in the Milwaukee suburbs, he said. The party had an urgent need to make inroads with young voters. You know, because they're being indoctrinated, Dom.
Yeah.
It also needs to focus the electorate more on the economy and public safety than issues of abortion or disputes about the 2020 election, he said. You know, we're not the ones disputing the 2020 election, Wanker. But then, according to the author of this piece, he said something that surprised me. The common refrain from Republicans in Wisconsin is the state is purple. It's not right-leaning. But Walker didn't view it that way. He called his own electoral success in Johnson's an exception. Because, you know, he believes he's the exceptional one, Dom.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Wankinator, Wisconsin has historically, and I think largely continues to be, a blue state. What? Now, I live here, Dom, and you and I have been doing a little radio show here and other places for more than a decade. This ain't never been a blue state while I've been here.
Not since we've been doing the show, for sure.
Not if you're talking about the political controls of power, not the levers of power. Hell no, it's not a blue state. Now, when it comes time for statewide elections, and Scott Walker, you know, I'm the exceptional one. I, Scotty Backbench Legislative Walker, somehow am the chosen one that broke through in this blue state and won statewide election. Well, I would point out Scott Walker got elected in a backlash to Obamacare in a astroturfed effort to push back on the ACA, right? That's what swept the Republicans into power in the midterms in 2010 here in the state of Wisconsin. It wasn't the exceptional candidacy of the Wankinator, at least I would assert. Now, he came out dropping bombs, Dom, Act 10, and it became very, very, what would you say it was around here in
contentious?
Like, yes, contentious, a little beyond contentious. I mean, the square. I am one block from the Wisconsin State Capitol as I speak right now. 100,000 people are up there protesting Scott Walker on the weekends, if I recall, Dom. And it was deserved because Scott Walker undermined the public sector unions, eventually got around to undermining the private sector unions, and gerrymandered the maps here in the state of Wisconsin to the benefit of the Republicans for at least a decade. And subsequent to that, they baked in another decade of gerrymandered maps unless we see something coming down from the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I'm looking at you, 4-3 liberal majority. But for the last 15 years, we've had a conservative bent to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. We've had the gubernator as governor until 2018. Ron Johnson is still the representative over in the upper chamber, the senior senator. You know the one I talk about, Dom. Rojo. So how in the hell does this guy perceive the state of Wisconsin to be a blue state, and he's the lucky exception that made it through electoral?
He is the exception. He is his governing skills, perhaps, Crudy. His electoral victories were because of the quality of the character, the quality of the candidate, and their policies.
Right? Now, in this article, Siders, David Siders from the Politico magazine, well, he had a long confab with Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party chair. And did I mention, Dom, Ben will be joining us next Tuesday, 1 year from the election, the 2024 November election. Next Tuesday is 1 year out. So Ben Wickler and, you know, the Democrats got lots of kickoffs, 1 year to the election sort of stuff going on this weekend. So look for some of that. And David Siders interviewed Ben Wickler, but he wasn't the only good lefty that got interviewed for this article, Dom. You and I also went to dinner with David Siders that night. And we were sort of the peanut gallery down the table. my business partner, Sage, here in Civic Media. Well, Sage was sitting closer to the journalist and, you know, trying to play nice. I less so. But
shocking.
You know, since we are also featured in this very article that's been politifacted regarding the blue statement. And again, if you have an opinion, I'd like to hear it now. Looking for callers earlier than we normally do, but 844-967-2789. Wanker calls Wisconsin a blue state. Do you agree or disagree? But according to this political article, I'm going to hearken back here, Dom. Back in Madison, I visited the studio where Mike Crute, a progressive radio host, produces the Devil's Advocates radio show. For years, he persisted with relatively little reach. What? In a state dominated by right-wing talk, his influence still is relatively small. Not small.
I'm fine. Trust me.
But Crute recently linked up with major Democratic donor Sage Weil, a tech entrepreneur living in Madison. The two began buying up radio stations around the state. Now they have 18. Correction, make that 20, Dom. And Weil, who told me he has invested $12 or $13 million so far, Crudy more gumption than cash, so far focusing on local content and replacing the station's Fox News programming, you know, with more reputable news sources, Dom, let's just say. The goal, according to Sage, isn't to be pro-democratic media organization, but rather to focus on a set of core values that include democracy, small d, fact-based journalism, transparency, community. Ultimately, he said, that means supporting some Republicans. But he added, it's hard because the Republican Party has gone so, and let's just say, backwano crazy right now. Sage, seldom profane, but he caught him at a weak moment. Over dinner that night, Crute said, as long as abortion's illegal here, Republicans are not going to win any state. Pardon me. I'm struggling to quote me, Dom. You know, I'm so spectacular in my statement here. Let me try again.
See if you can get your last name right.
Crute said, as long as abortion's illegal here, Republicans are not going to win any statewide races. They're basically stuck. In some way, shape, or form, agreeing with the prior assertion of the Wankinator that we have become, we are a nouveau blue state, if anything, Dom. New blue. And then the next paragraph begins, Crute is overstating the argument. I'm being politifacted in the article of PolitiFact. Johnson won last year, after all, but Ron Johnson. But even then, Republicans in Wisconsin knew abortion was a problem for them, with the majority of voters opposed to overturning Roe v. Wade. But here's the question. Scott Walker is PolitiFacted today. And PolitiFact Wisconsin says of the Wankinator statement, mostly false. Mostly false. Wisconsin is a historically blue state. Well, I would agree with their assessment. Anytime the Walker is talking, the Wanker, he's lying. So let's just assume it's mostly false. But there's some there, Tom. But it's new blue. We are a new blue state. And that's because of two things. One, the Dobbs ruling, of course. And two, Civic Media. Glad to be a part, little part, small part, little sliver part, Dom, but we're doing our share here. Come back with us. What's your opinion? Blue state, red state, purple state, state of confusion. How are you feeling? More Devil's Advocates on the other side. We got some guests. We'll tell you about them as well when we come back.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Small businesses represent the lifeblood of every community. In Wisconsin, small businesses represent 99.4% of all businesses. Their importance to our economy, especially our rural livelihood, cannot be overstated. Entrepreneurs must be innovative and have a growth mindset in order to keep pace. Business owners and employees of small businesses can attend a free presentation by small business expert Fred Hochberg. Hochberg is former head of the Small Business Administration, the Export-Import Bank of the United States, and the Lillian Vernon Corporation. His presentation, Small Business Growth Strategies in Rural Communities, takes place on Wednesday, November 8th at the UW Green Bay Marinette Campus. Hochberg will share ideas for how rural businesses can thrive in today's marketplace. Funding for the presentation comes from the Tommy G. Thompson Center for Public Leadership. For more information on Fred Hochberg's November 8th presentation, Small Business Growth Strategies in Rural Communities, and to register for this free event, visit thompsoncenter.wisc.edu. That's thompsoncenter.wisc.edu.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join us on the lines, 844-967-2789. Bill Davis, he's going to join us at 430. He's a legal analyst with the Wisconsin Rivers Alliance. Also, Rick Smith, the Rick Smith Show, coming in at 530, talking a little labor.
Little labor. And we may have found Jimmy Hoffa. We're going to tell you where he's at. Maybe Milwaukee, but want to hear from you. Blue state, red state, the Wankinator has called the state of Wisconsin a blue state. Scott Walker, the former gubernator. Now, that is part of his self-serving narrative because he was the only one exceptional enough, him and Ron Johnson. Because if I ever met two exceptional politicians, they are Scott Walker and Ron Johnson. I mean, two fighter men do not exist in this state. In their own minds,
two dynamic speakers who overcame the blue state Wisconsin to rise to the pinnacle of their political mountain.
I remember, Dom, another article, and we're going to get to the phones momentarily because I asked for callers. I want to hear from you, 844-967-2789. I remember an article published about Scott Walker way back in 2014 when he was gearing up for his failed presidential campaign. Alex McGinnis, New Republic, wrote an article, The Unelectable Whiteness of Scott Walker. And it said, effectively, Scott Walker really only had appeal in the state of Wisconsin because he was being propped up on righty-whitey talk radio daily. Daily, this backbencher, this legislative backbencher, always made himself available. He's a radio whore, basically. Different than Dominic.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. Well, I mean, didn't Ron Johnson in his most recent election victory, he spent how many hundreds of hours?
325 hours. Wow. Last year, his reelective year, 2022, 325 hours. If it's 40 hours a week of work, Dom, that's 8 complete weeks that Ron Johnson was sitting in the office doing right-wing talk radio hits. So first and foremost, prescient article by Alex McGinnis, because Scott Walker failed mightily. Didn't play when he wasn't being propped up by the right-wing talk radio infrastructure. Couldn't make it as far as Iowa, Dom. But this assertion, it's a blue state. I'd like to hear from you, 844-967-2789. If it's blue, it's new blue. Jake from Milwaukee, what do you think?
Hey, Jake.
Well, in order to hold people hostage, you have to know who you captured. And I would imagine that when Walker's thinking blue state, he's thinking of everyone who has voted against percentages way over 50% that the Republicans in the legislature shouldn't have as much power. So I would say, yeah. As a Wisconsin citizen, yeah, we're a blue state. but yeah, you're right. As far as power goes, I mean, no, the legislature is like the ruling party that has done everything they can to stay in power. So, you know, and I think after the redistricting is redone, hopefully, the Republicans are still going to have power. They're just not going to have iron fist control over everything, because as a person who's lived in Wisconsin, most of my life has been underneath a Republican governor, right? So total lie. So I think we're like a purple, but more blue when everything will actually be fair.
I think the dress is gold and white, Jake.
Thanks for the call, Jake. I got kind of the same impression when I read the article as well. This is kind of like an admission from Walker that the gerrymander has worked. As you mentioned, a lot more Dems get votes than actually are reflected in the assembly. 844-967-2789. Cam from Nina. Welcome, Cam. What do you got for us?
Hey, Cam.
Hey, I think I can offer a slight unique perspective. Not that I'm some great special person, but this is related, I promise. Hear me out. When you play video games have connection-based, like location-based connections. So they try to get you to play with people that live somewhat near you. Now, you never know who, like, where exactly they live. You don't know if it's your neighbor or someone across the street or someone a state over. But I see plenty of people online with names like Brewers in their names or Wisconsin something or the other in their usernames. Having been from Minnesota, been to California quite a bit, and Wisconsin, I don't think I've ever been called as many racial slurs as a white guy by people on games other than when I'm playing in Wisconsin and I'm connecting with people from Wisconsin.
So and why are you slurred, so to your opinion, Cam?
Why am I slurred?
Yeah.
Slurred at? Honestly, they see it as younger adults don't know how to output their emotions correctly or in a healthy way. So when they want to hurt someone, they try to say the most shocking thing to hurt them. And the best thing you can do is just ignore it or call them out and make them realize that's just embarrassing to go do. But I would say that Wisconsin is pretty red in terms of some of the values that are presented, but I think if the maps get changed to a healthier thing, we can start changing that mindset over maybe something closer to Minnesota.
Cam, I appreciate that, because for a minute there, as you were describing your video game online connecting, I'm thinking you're just really bad at Fortnite.
That's why they're swearing at you.
If you could shoot straight on the on the video game,
it's hard for me to, you know, I play the games, and I got the VR as well, and I just, you know, I'm not great at the whole social play thing because I don't want to be swearing at 12-year-olds. I just do the campaigns. Thanks for the call, Cam. I'll just get one more in before we are joined at the bottom of the hour by Bill Davis, a legal analyst with the Wisconsin Rivers Alliance. Mark from the SAC, are we red? Are we purple? Are we blue? What do you think, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Well, we're pretty purple, and the fact of the matter is Scott Walker's mouth is moving, so he's lying. You know, any time his mouth is moving, he is lying, because for the 2010 election, Scott Walker probably should have gone to jail over that election, prior to that election, because he was running his campaign out of his county office, along with the collusion of office members, you know, people in his office staff, and an outside attorney who was sending emails to his office staff, giving him directions on the campaign and withholding information. And in the 2014 campaign, let's remember that he was violating the law again, too, and then with carefully violating the law, rather than changing the law prior to that, he just merely went along violating the law, knowing the Supreme Court was going to, you know, approve of whatever, you know, crimes he had been committed.
And shred the evidence, please.
And shred the evidence. I mean, it is just a...
You ever seen a court directive to shred the evidence until this Wisconsin Supreme Court said, shred the evidence of Scott Walker's malfeasance and campaign finance violations?
No. It's just ridiculous.
Sorry about that, Mark. We're going to go with purple. I think we're purple, man. I think it's purple.
We're new blue.
Flows. We're new blue. I hope we get more blue. People listen to Devil's Advocates. We'll tell you the truth. You make up your own mind. But Walker, man, come on. Really? He's just salty because, of course, he got beat by Evers. He got beat by the blue, so
he got
he's
beat
a little black and blue right now.
By the green. Last time I heard, Scott Walker was blaming it on cannabis, on legal marijuana referendums on 16 different countywide ballots. I got beat by marijuana. Got beat by the green team. Come back, Devil's Advocates. Never can tell what team we're on. The Lumberjack team or Devils.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An inmate died at the Waupun State Prison Monday. It's the third prisoner death in Waupun in 4 months. The Dodge County Medical Examiner says autopsy results won't be ready for a couple of months. The Waupun prison has been in lockdown since March. The Journal Sentinel reports about 1,000 inmates have to stay in their cells around the clock. Families say they're concerned about health care at the prison. Wisconsin Supreme Court Chief Justice Annette Ziegler delivers the annual State of the Judiciary Address in Lake Geneva today. It's part of the annual Wisconsin Judicial Conference. The veteran conservative justice has clashed with the new liberal majority on the court over several issues. That includes appointing acting state courts director Audrey Skorowski, who's also addressing the conference. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For the talk of Green Bay, WGBW News, I'm Pete Schwabba. Happy Halloween to trick-or-treaters in Sheboygan, where it's still happening. Sheboygan trick-or-treaters were forced to postpone their sugar buzz until today. The town postponed trick-or-treating yesterday because of the bad weather. The city of Sheboygan says it is prioritizing safety and overall trick-or-treater well-being. Trick-or-treating is underway right now until 7 p.m. The DNR has the 411. For important hunting dates, trapping season opens November 4th for beaver, mink, muskrat, and otter. Mink and muskrat trapping season in the Mississippi River Zone opens November 13th. Deer gun season starts November 18th, and deer muzzleloader season opens November 27th. For more information on all hunting seasons, zones, dates, and safety guidelines, please visit the Wisconsin DNR website. Most of northeast Wisconsin is looking at highs only in the mid to high 30s this afternoon. Bundle up. And that's what you need to know. I'm Pete Schwabba, WGBW 97.9 News.
Timeout!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Game 5 of the World Series tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Texas Rangers hold a 3-1 record in the World Series after beating the Diamondbacks in Arizona last night by a score of 11-6. The first pitch tonight in Phoenix is 7:03. NBA, the Bucks are in Toronto to take on the Toronto Raptors tonight at 6 p.m. NFL, so why did the Packers trade one of their best defensive players, defensive back Rasul Douglas, to the Buffalo Bills last night? I asked Packers GM Brian Gutekunst.
Blaine, the value you see in that third-round pick now with your current situation.
Yeah, I'm going to be a pretty good class coming up, but it's more about that's a four-year contract, four-year rookie contract. It also, you know, it also frees up a significant amount of resources from the cap. I think it's everything that's involved in that. And then just kind of looking at our team right now and some of the young guys that need to play and making sure we know what we know there as well.
That's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 27. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 43. Lows around 33. Tomorrow night, overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 39.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than BugTussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, BugTussle has you covered. BugTussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. BugTussle, we're out there because you're out there.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Lumberjack and Wednesday edition. Now we got a fine guest. He's joined me here in the WMDX 92.7 studios. He is Bill Davis, legal analyst with the Wisconsin River Alliance. And Bill, I appreciate you coming around, man. Some legislative pieces being put forward by our Republican friends primarily. And the topic is PFAS, these forever chemicals. And this is your expertise, so I'm not going to pretend to be an expert today. But I want to start. There was a letter that was written by your group regarding this newest PFAS bill. And if I understand it, effectively, your group's contention is, don't bother, you're making things worse. Do I have that part right, Bill?
In terms of this particular piece of legislation and the way it is currently drafted, yes. Do we think that there needs to be action on PFAS, and should they hurry up and do something to spend the $125 million that they set aside in the budget? Yeah. We just don't think that this bill could do more harm than good.
So, Bill, let's start with the financial aspect, because if the money ain't there, it's hard to get anything done. There's been $125 million allocated through the budgetary process, a biannual budget, so about $62 million a year. First and foremost, is that anywhere close to being able to being enough resources to address this problem?
No. Not even close. And even the bill authors would tell you that. So by way of a little bit of background, because it helps.
I think help define the problem.
PFAS are an enormous class of chemicals. So you're not talking about one single substance here. I have seen estimates that there are 12,000 or more PFAS substances, and they have been used in commerce for a long time, going back to the 40s and 50s. And they are used in a staggering array of products. So they are in everything from cosmetics to food packaging to dental floss to medical devices. So they've been around for a long time. They're in a lot of substances. So they're everywhere.
And how does this become environmentally problematic? How do the PFAS enter into the water system?
So that can happen in any one of a number of ways. There would be a limited number of places where you might have, you know, a factory that is either using a product that has PFAS in it that may be discharging directly into water. One of the biggest routes in the reason that I think PFAS kind of originally came into public awareness is there were two PFAS substances that were very, very commonly used in firefighting foams that were used in airports. And I don't know if this is still true, but it used to be that the FAA actually required people to practice with those foams. So they were spraying those foams, even though there wasn't a fire. And so one of the places that you often see a certain PFAS chemicals in the groundwater or in the surface water is around airports. So it's in the other way that it can get into the groundwater is if you've got something like a paper mill or a sewage treatment plant, part of the waste that comes out of that can be, if it's clean enough, can be spread on land as fertilizer. And that's another way that it can get into groundwater.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I got a fine guest here in Madison. He is Bill Davis, legal analyst with the Wisconsin River Alliance. And we're talking PFAS, these forever chemicals, a legislative piece put out by Republicans. Seems like window dressing, and it seemingly undermines the Department of Natural Resources. But before we get to that, tell me, how significant of a problem under current tense are PFAS in the state of Wisconsin?
the Department of Natural Resources has, I think, 90 or so active sites that they're trying to address with PFAS. We're going to find more, partially for the reason I was just saying, these are used in, have been used for so long and in so many different ways. You're going to find them in lots of places. That said, it's not that they're, completely everywhere. One of the things that did happen last year is we finally passed some drinking water standards and some surface water standards. What that did is require certain types of agencies to test for it. So we're starting to see some of that data back. And, there are going to be quite a few places that are going to have problems that are going to need to be addressed. That then begs the question of, okay, so then what do you do about it? And one thing just to say, I've been doing this work now for 36 years. And one of the things that drives me nuts is actually the fact that we're even having this conversation. And what I mean by that is right now in the United States, you can create a substance and put it in a product and send it out and you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to ensure on the front end that something that you are creating is not a problem. That's why we're here. And that's dumb. And I mean, in my world, this is called the precautionary principle. You should be required to show that something is not going to cause human health and ecological harm before you can use it. And so that's kind of why we're here. The other thing about them is they've been used for a long time, but because nobody's done this kind of work, we know that there are human health impacts. They cause, are linked to certain types of cancer and high cholesterol, low birth weight, decrease in fertility, a whole bunch of things. So they are a problem and something that you want to avoid. But we don't know all of the health impacts. And again, having done this work as long as I have, if I look back at what happened with PCBs and dioxin, and I can list a whole bunch of other chemicals, it only gets worse the more we know. And I'm betting that that's going to be the case with PFAS in no small part because there are so many of them. So it is a problem.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's Bill Davis. He's a legal analyst with the Wisconsin River Alliance. Thank you, Bill, for coming in and talking about this topic. Of course, look back at history. As you mentioned, there's been lots of chemicals that we used and lots of applications over the course of humanity. And eventually we find out that something's wrong and then we address it and try to fix it. Well, then there's also those that use it in their manufacturing process, use it in their products. And they're perhaps less apt to want to voluntarily, number one, withdraw those substances from their products. And number two, be held, call it liable for putting cancerous, terrible products out into the marketplace for money, for profit. Bill, as part of this particular package, my understanding, there wasn't a lot of effort in this legislation to hold the manufacturers accountable. What's your sense?
Yeah, that is absolutely right. In yes. Our view, what this does is it shifts the burden away from the people that we think are most responsible and have control over these substances onto the taxpayer, which is the major problem that we have with the package. The other thing that I will say about the legislation is the intent of having public money available to help people who cannot help themselves and to help municipalities is not a bad thing. That said, this legislation is not hard. I mean, what they wanted to do, I believe, is have a grant program that would help municipalities and that would help true individual humans that find out that are private well owners that find out that they have PFAS contamination. They wanted to provide some funding to help them so that they're not constantly exposed with PFAS. That concept would not be hard to do, but that's not what they did. And they didn't do that in two ways. One of the things that I just, frankly, just kind of find annoying is they put the money in the budget, but they didn't put the language in that would tell the DNR how you would spend it. And the reason they did that is because they didn't want the governor to have a line item veto over it. And because if you know, frankly, if they put these sorts of provisions, the governor probably could have line item vetoed out the problematic ones, and we would be spending that money now. So that's part of kind of the game that is being played here. So you have
what about you know, the regulatory agencies, the DNR, the FDA, I mean, you know, nonstick pans, all that kind of thing. Do they have any power to address this to your satisfaction?
Not with the current legislative authority here in the state, certainly not to the degree that we think would be necessary. I mean, frankly, I think we should be taking a hard look at what Minnesota has done, what Maine has done, which is basically to phase out the use of these substances, period. That's what it's going to take, I think, to really protect people. And that would take separate legislative authority to accomplish here. Without that, the DNR is doing what the DNR can do, which is to try and set standards for individual PFAS substances. But that, again, and that could be a subject of a whole nother radio show for you guys, so don't get me started. It is torturous, bordering on impossible now for the Department of Natural Resources or any agency to promulgate administrative rules. And so, you know, you can say, yeah, well, the DNR can just do rules. Not really. So it's very, very hard. And it makes it even, you know, kind of more annoying for us that on top of that, they're actually taking authority away in this bill from the Department of Natural Resources to take enforcement actions. And, you know, we were asking earlier about whether $125 million is enough. The answer is no. And part of the reason why I can say that with such confidence is... Johnson, you know, Tyco, the up in Marinette, which is one of the largest PFAS contamination sites in the country, have set aside something on the order of $400 million just to try and deal with that site.
Wow.
So, $125 million would be useful and could be, you know, put to good use, but it is not enough. And by shifting, what this bill does is, if you want to think of it this way, it puts even more call on that $125 million because the DNR cannot take action against the people that were responsible.
Bill Davis from the Wisconsin Rivers Alliance for a few more minutes. Bill, I own a home in Washura County, private well. I know many of the listeners here are listening from rural areas, and they probably have private wells. Is this something we should be concerned as private well owners? Do we need to get our own waters tested? Or is it only problematic if they notice that, let's say, Tyco down the road in Green Bay is mass dumping into some body of water? I mean, should the private citizen be worried home by home?
The sorts of things, it's a good question. The sorts of things that I would think about if I were in your position is not just is there like a huge Tyco facility nearby, but do you know that somebody, you know, that one of your neighbors has allowed somebody to spread waste from either a paper mill or a sewage treatment plant or things like that, that could be a source. If there's any sort of small manufacturing areas around, you might be concerned. The other thing that I would say, just a whole other part of my life, if you're on a private well, you should have it tested at least for nutrients, for nitrates and phosphorus,
sure,
and things like that. Anyway, but part of the reason why we wanted to see...
But our PFAS normally tested, Bill.
No.
We tested for nitrates, but no one said PFAS plus or minus.
Right, no. And you would want to, you know, kind of take a look around. And what I was going to say is right now, anyway, testing for PFAS is relatively expensive, which is the other reason why it would be nice to have this money that would be available to people like you to do the sort of testing and then find out if you do have a problem, hopefully have some money to figure out what to do about it.
Bill, when people want to learn more about the Wisconsin Rivers Alliance in this issue, where do they go?
Well, you can go to our website if you want. Actually, the United States Environmental Protection Agency has a pretty good website on PFAS, as does the Wisconsin DNR, if you just want to find some basic information about what they are and where they are.
Bill Davis, legal analyst from the Wisconsin Rivers Alliance. Thank you so much. More Devil's Advocates.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Small businesses represent the lifeblood of every community. In Wisconsin, small businesses represent 99.4% of all businesses. Their importance to our economy, especially our rural livelihood, cannot be overstated. Entrepreneurs must be innovative and have a growth mindset in order to keep pace. Business owners and employees of small businesses can attend a free presentation by small business expert Fred Hochberg. Hochberg is former head of the Small Business Administration, the Export-Import Bank of the United States, and the Lillian Vernon Corporation. His presentation, Small Business Growth Strategies in Rural Communities, takes place on Wednesday, November 8th at the UW Green Bay Marinette Campus. Hochberg will share ideas for how rural businesses can thrive in today's marketplace. Funding for the presentation comes from the Tommy G. Thompson Center for Public Leadership. For more information on Fred Hochberg's November 8th presentation, Small Business Growth Strategies in Rural Communities, and to register for this free event, visit thompsoncenter.wisc.edu. That's thompsoncenter.wisc.edu.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
We're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to thank our most recent guest to find one. Bill asked me how he did. Bill Davis from the Wisconsin Rivers Alliance. I said, very well. I would like you to assume, Bill, we have zero knowledge on this topic, and we want to build our knowledge level, and we want to be accessible. We want people to understand it along with us. Because literally, Dom, when we started this, there were so many issues that you didn't know about. That we didn't know about, ITs, but that we didn't know about. We inform ourselves along with you so many different ways. If we don't learn these issues with you, how the hell are we going to tell you about them? So anyways, thank you, Bill Davis. And we will revisit the PFAS. We're going to talk about KFOS here in the state of Wisconsin, because these are issues, man. I know red state, blue state. I get all that. And I know I'm the one that started that conversation. But water's pretty universal.
That's pretty important.
What do you make your ice cubes out of to put in your tequila, if not for the water, Dom? If you can't trust the ice cube in your tequila, we got some real problems here.
Then I got to drink it straight.
Or your brandy old fashioned or whatever. You know, choose your own drink here. Double Captain Diet. Whatever you may partake in.
No judging.
Some drink water. I don't understand that, though. Yeah. Do you remember being in, where were we? Up in Michigan, Flint, Michigan. And we had, there was a Democratic presidential debate in Flint. We drove up there. And that is a town that's gone through some stuff. Mm-hmm. And we were at, I forget where we were. We met within the president of the NAACP. And we did many fine interviews. And I remember someone from the National Conservation Board. And we were sitting at a little bar restaurant with him, and he was drinking lemonade. And he said to me, well, don't drink the water. And I'm thinking, well, what do you think they made the lemonade out of? I mean, a couple of squeezes of lemon's not going to sanitize that thing. If it's don't drink the water, it's don't drink the water or any of the byproducts of the water, right? Hell, right. I'm not even sure if you should be showered in the Flint water, but anyways, Dom, different topic for this final segment of this hour. Dom, Jimmy Hoffa's buried at County Stadium. What?
What?
Did you see this headline?
I don't believe it.
Hey, it's reported by Jesse OPP Apoyan. When Jesse puts her seal on it, man, you can trust that. Oh, sorry. I've got the wrong article up. Jesse reporting on the ballpark funding issue. Not so much the did they bury Jimmy Hoffa their issue? Do you have that one, Dom?
I do. J.D. Radcliffe reporting from the Journal Sentinel.
Could I'm sure Jimmy he's Hoffa as fine as Jesse OPP Apoyan.
Absolutely. In the shadow of American Family Field, one cold case group believes so. Could the answer to one of the greatest unsolved mysteries in American history be lying just outside Halford Field, the youth baseball diamond adjacent to American Family Field, home of the Milwaukee Brewers? Question mark. an organization called the Case Breakers, which has dedicated itself to gathering new information on some of the country's biggest cases and numerous other unsolved crimes, has zeroed in on an area that used to be Milwaukee County Stadium. It says it has information suggesting Hoffa's body was moved to a site around third base at the venue in September of 1995.
95? Was Molly 95. Still playing third base for us then?
I mean, 95? He was killed when? I mean, in the 70s, he disappeared from Bloomfield Hills. He was declared legally dead in 1982. I'm not buying it. The Case Breakers say they have a piece of evidence that first pointed them in Milwaukee's direction, and they've also deployed some high-tech resources to accurately locate the possible body, but also a dog that can locate human remains through concrete, ? And then J.D. Ratcliffe goes into talking about who Jimmy Hoffa was, of course, Teamster, American Labor Union. In July of 95, he disappeared from a restaurant in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, just outside of Detroit. His body has never been found. I've eaten at that restaurant. It's no longer the same restaurant, but I've been there. It's a fine restaurant. He was legally declared dead in 82. Rumors of his remains whereabouts have surfaced regularly. The FBI has attempted to exhume his remains 5 times at spots in Michigan and 2 in New Jersey, though neither of those is the Meadowlands Sports Complex, where a popular urban myth believes Hoffa was buried during construction of the old Giant Stadium, which opened in 1976.
Dom, later in this article, body of the work, are we supposed to literally interpret that as under third base at County Stadium? This is what the clue would indicate. An ace of spades with a date, Jimmy Hoffa's name, and third base written on the playing card. The Case Breakers appear to think so. In fact, they utilized aerial photographs, GPS satellite images to find exactly where third base was located within 5 feet. And perhaps the biggest scandal here is it appears home plate isn't exactly where a commemorative marker indicates. Inside the Heifer Field complex, the Little League Field built outside American Family Field's parking lot, where the old County Stadium once stood. Dom, they moved the stadium, but they didn't move the bases. Instead, they located an area on the walkway outside Heifer Gates. They've been looking into this location since they learned of the playing card with the Jimmy Hoffa thing 3 years ago. And this is where a dog named Moxie comes in. Dom, I've often described you as having moxie. The Case Breakers team came to the site October 2nd, 2023 with the canine cadaver seeking dog named Moxie, who has a reputation for locating bodies. Moxie, who has assisted in search and rescue missions and body recoveries, apparently barked and nosed her way into 4 hits at the stadium's old third base location. They've got a hit, Dom. The dog's barking. In the leader of the Case Breakers, Thomas Colbert, told Foxy News that the next natural step is to dig at the site. And his team claims federal agents have agreed to at least explore the possibility. So, Dom, are they going to dig up the County Stadium, former Stadium third base line area?
I'm from Michigan, Curdy. I was born in Livonia, and I got the Italian heritage and heard stories around the dinner table, and my recollection is that when they killed him in Bloomfield Hills, they threw him in a car and telegraphed, drove north to Pontiac, and dumped him in a foundry. You're never going to find him. But, you know, that's what you talk about at the dinner table.
Yeah, very pleasant conversations you Salvias have. You came from bootlegger stock, didn't you, Dom?
I don't know. I wasn't around back then, Curdy. But, you know, who can judge people just trying to get by?
Bathtub Gin pharmacist? Come back a happier
pharmacy.
Happy hour. Devil's Advocates.
Roll her old bones on over here and I'll dig up your daughter. You know that's her.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. Put the finishing touches on your kitchen or bathroom with a new faucet from Moen. Moen creates faucets that feature innovative technology and have a timeless aesthetic. Get the Hilliard bath faucet for $129.99 after rebate. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through November 5th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.